scores! Gilmore scores! With 1:03 left!
Off the glass, in left corner to Aguilla. Aguilla to the left circle. Passing to Yell, a shot. Save made by Al Aguilla. Rebound, another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson.
Okay, let's get this hour going. Happy Friday. It is Friday, April 5th, and we are underway this hour on Flames Talk. Welcome to the Scotiabank Saddle Dome, and welcome to the Sports Drive alongside Wes Gilbertson of Post Media. My name is Pat Steinberg, and we got a busy program for you coming up. We got a very, really dialed in program. It's an exciting one, and we'll have plenty of time to talk about some of the things on the ice. But as we welcome you to the Sports Drive, it's brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Simplify your life with a security ecosystem. Go to CalgaryLockandSafe.com to request a security audit and get a tailored solution. We'll have lots of time to talk about the Thursday night loss in Winnipeg, the official mathematical elimination, Wes. I know that that is always a day that on the outside we talk about, but I mean, is it really any different one day when the last time we talked, they still had mathematical playoff life? It's not really all that different one day later when they don't have mathematical.
They've known for a while. I thought it was telling, and I do believe he was telling the truth. I thought it was
Uyghur?
When Mackenzie Uyghur said, I didn't even know that today was the day we could be mathematically eliminated, that sort of tells you what type of standings talk was happening behind the scenes these past couple weeks.
Yeah, 100%. So we'll have lots of time to talk about the game, talk about the Connor Zeri healthy scratch, which was, I don't know how surprising it was. It wasn't necessarily something I think that we had on our bingo card, but just knowing the way he had been playing, I guess it was something that tracked in terms of the struggles, but a lot of people didn't agree with it necessarily, and wasn't one of the things that I was, I looked at and said, yeah, that's something I definitely think they should do. But we heard from Ryan Huska earlier on Friday. Might give you a little bit more insight into what the thinking is on that healthy scratch. So we'll dive into that. Another Martin Pospisil hit, this one on Josh Morrissey, but does not sound like there's going to be any supplemental discipline. Our buddy Ryan Pike tweeting out just before we went on the air live on this Friday, on April 5th, that no supplemental discipline is expected for Martin Pospisil, which is a little surprising, and I think you and I are on the same page, a little surprising mainly because we're talking about a guy who was suspended very recently by the NHL and now has three majors under his belt since the All-Star break. And so I think a lot of people just wondered if the Department of Player Safety would crack down a little bit more just because he is a guy who's a repeat offender. I know I said it on Thursday night. I said I would be surprised if he didn't get a suspension coming from that hit. And so I am a little surprised that there's no suspension coming today.
Yeah, myself as well. I watched the hit a whole bunch of times last night, obviously a couple times on the broadcast, and then went back and watched the replay several more times. And just given the fact that Martin Pospisil was suspended less than a month ago for three games, just I guess sort of assuming that they would want to continue, and when I say they, I mean the Department of Player Safety, would want to continue to send a message to the Flames rookie that, hey, we're going to need you to tone this down a little. I did think that it was likely to wind up with a suspension, or, you know, we haven't even heard about a hearing. So it's possible there's not even
that doesn't a sound fine like coming. Yeah, like, doesn't sound like there's anything on the books for it. Maybe the major, the game misconduct, and the fact that Josh Morrissey, the player who is on the receiving end of that elbow, is just fine. He was able to continue the game, be a part of the game. I think he got an assist on a goal later on in the third period. So Josh Morrissey also being fine plays into, I think, the decision a little bit as well.
Yeah, I would think so. But the fact that there's no supplemental discipline is not going to change the discourse both behind the scenes and publicly. We're talking about a player who has to walk that fine line. You know, I realize it's a tightrope act for a guy who plays the style that he plays, but we can't be talking about a second possible suspension in a one-month span.
Yep.
And I know head coach Ryan Huska said today that he does feel like that first message landed, that since Martin Pospisil returned from that three-game suspension for a dangerous check from behind on Vince Dunn, he feels like last night in Winnipeg was the first maybe questionable hit he's delivered since then. Ryan Huska went out of his way to say this is a guy who throws a lot of hits and has done a good job of walking that line. But this is going to be a conversation that we continue to have until Martin Pospisil proves that he can. And listen, the type of player he is, he's going to cross that line sometimes. That's just a given, but it can't be twice in a month.
Yep. All that still to come this hour on the Daily Flames Roundtable when Derek Wills joins in with us. But want to spend the first part of the hour talking a little bit about something that it's a good news story, and it's not a surprising story, but it deserves it. Oliver Shillington is Calgary's nominee for the Bill Masterton Memorial Trophy this season, given to the player at the end of every hockey season who best exemplifies the qualities of perseverance, sportsmanship, and dedication to hockey. And that's what we'll do as we go inside hockey for Calgary Co-op. This hockey season, support local. Find your all-time classics and locally brewed beers. Visit your local Calgary Co-op wine, spirits, beer today. And, I mean, I don't think anybody is surprised. This was a slam dunk, pretty easy decision for those of you in the Professional Hockey Writers Association. The PHWA is the group that votes on the nominees for each team and then votes on the eventual Bill Masterton Memorial Trophy winner at the end of the season. This one seemed like a pretty easy one for y'all.
Yeah, absolutely. You go through years, and so there is one nominee in each city or for each team each season, and you'll go through years where you sort of struggle to come up with somebody that you would consider a worthy candidate for the award. And listen, if you're playing in the NHL, there's perseverance and dedication to hockey, and that's in all of them. But in terms of a guy who, you know, you think deserves to be singled out for that, sometimes you have trouble coming up with one, and this year wasn't that. Oliver Shillington is not only an obvious choice to be Calgary's representative or Calgary's nominee for this award, I think he has a darn good chance to potentially win it. I'd go as far as to say I will personally be surprised if he's not a finalist for the award. Yeah. And he'll certainly be on my list of finalists. You know, I, as you said, I am among those who had a vote for the team nominee, who will have a vote for the league-wide finalists. And I just think, you know, when you talk about two of those three qualities specifically, and I shouldn't just single out two of three because that makes it sound like sportsmanship is not a strong suit, and it really is for Oliver. But when we talk perseverance and dedication to hockey, I just think it's a total slam dunk. It's a home run. And, you know, the thing that I've probably thought the most about and maybe the most obvious example of dedication to hockey for me is the fact that when it was determined he wasn't ready to attend the start of training camp, he was adamant about staying here in Calgary. The amount of work, and we'll never know the full extent of it, but just speaking in broad strokes, the amount of work that went in behind the scenes for Oliver Shillington to be back and to be back making an impact and playing big minutes for the Calgary Flames, it was substantial. And I think this is a very cool acknowledgement of that.
Yeah. And I mean, he missed almost two full seasons, more than a season and a half. We know the dark place he was in starting around the fall of 2022 that, you know, made it for him. And we're about to hear from him. Wes and I spoke with Oliver a little earlier on this Friday. The interview is and has been for a while already up on our Flames Talk podcast feed if you want to go listen to it. And, you know, he was in a very, very hellish spot. Like, it was a dark spot, which and he's admitted many times that the mental health leave, the personal leave he was on. There were times when it was so bad that he was very much uncertain as to whether he'd ever play in the NHL again, not whether he'd play for the Flames again, not whether he would, like, whether he'd play hockey again, whether he'd be back here doing this again. And so the fact that he has missed almost two full seasons and went from May of 2022 to, what, February of 2024?
Yeah, late January.
Late January?
Yeah, right before the All-Star break.
That's right. It was right before. So, yeah, late January 2024.
The Columbus game on your calendar, around the 25th?
It was exactly January 25th. So that's right, because the team was not very good, but the Shillington story was the one that won that day. I remember now vividly. Yeah, that's almost two full seasons, and that's more than 18 months of time away from the game, and that's a significant chunk of time that a guy misses. And he's come back, he's looked like himself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the thing that we've said all along is that, you know, here's a guy that, you know, you're just so happy that he's able to even come back and be around teammates and play again, and just knowing where he was. And then on top of that, he's come back and he's been a really important factor for this team.
Well, and I think, yes, absolutely. He's been, you know, now he's again a fixture in maybe not always the top four, but what you would consider top 4 minutes. Like, he's one of those guys who is being leaned on heavily. He's one of those guys who the respect and admiration he has in the locker room is really evident. And, you know, the part that I think really bears pointing out today, the part that should really be focused on in some ways, is what the impact of Oliver Shillington, even if it's not getting into all the details, just the impact of Oliver Shillington telling his story and telling the parts that he's comfortable with. Like, how you and I have been covering this league for a good chunk of time, and how many NHLers have been open about needing to step away from the sport for mental health reasons, to, you know, face those mental health challenges that for the longest time we didn't talk about. And I just think, and it'll be spotlighted again with Oliver's Masterton nomination, the fact that he's been open about his mental health challenges, the fact that he's willing to sit here, and we'll hear it in a minute, and detail in some way for us the, you know, what the struggle looked like and what his maybe fears were as it pertained to his career and what it means to be, like, all of that. I just think whether it's a hockey fan, a non-hockey fan, whether it's in Calgary, whether it's elsewhere, I think people are going to look at Oliver Shillington and say, man, maybe there can be better days ahead. Look, here's a guy who's been through the worst of it for himself personally, and here he is back doing what he loves and doing it at the highest level. And I just think there is so much potential value in that. I really do. And, you know, I know that's not sort of that's not top of mind for Oliver or anyone. I know that it's important that Oliver will say, yeah, I can be maybe an inspiration, but people have to take on their, you know, they have to do the work individually. But I just think the value of his story can so far outweigh whatever he's achieved on the ice up to this point, and even will in the future.
Yep, it was, and the other thing that, and we're going to play the interview right now. The other thing you're going to hear is you can tell how I just the delivery and how I'm trying to think of the right word. Just the how thoughtful his words are. Like, you can really tell how much he's thinking about exactly wanting to get the message out properly in terms of where he is. You also can just tell how much this Masterton nomination means to him. Oliver Shillington, who is Calgary's nominee for the Bill Masterton Memorial Trophy this year, joined Wes and I here in the Hot Stove Lounge a little earlier today. Oliver, I guess, first of all, just, I know that as you're making your return and you're going through your return to play and all of that, the Masterton isn't something that's on your mind in any way, shape, or form. But when you get that news that you've been the team nominee for the Masterton, how does that make a guy feel? What's your immediate reaction to that?
First, it came as shocking news, but right after, I felt honored and I felt thankful and grateful, started to thank people in the organization, my teammates, and yeah, I mean it's a cool recognition, and I feel honored, and seeing other Flames players like Lanny being named in the past, you feel honored being named as how do you say?
Masterton,
yeah. as him. Yeah. So yeah, but yeah, like in general, like you feel pride.
Is it? I would imagine that it might also give you a little bit of like almost a reminder as to how far you've come. Hey, like here you are, you're back, you're playing, as you said initially, like back to doing what you love and back to your everyday life. Was it kind of a good reminder as to where you are and an opportunity to reflect?
I've said to myself since I returned that I'm not going to reflect until the season is over. So I'm still like trying to be in the present as much as I can and just trying to focus on the next day if that's a practice or if that's a game. But along the journey, I would say you get reminded and you see that you're taking steps, and I feel it's important to acknowledge them and but also be aware that you have to be in the present and do your job and still understand that you have games to play left. So
yeah.
I'm just trying to be here right now and then trying to sum more stuff up at the end of the year. But yeah, like I feel a lot of emotions and all of them are of positive emotions, but at the same time, I'm just trying to be here and now.
I remember like going way back to the 21-22 season. I remember sitting with you in here and I remember you talking about that exact same thing, the how important it is for you to be present and how important it is to just be focused on what's next and how that kind of got you to the career season you had that year. So that's still a really big kind of central part of how you approach things, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. And I think like that was obviously a main reason why I felt that I couldn't come back when everything went on and when everything went on family-wise for me. I felt that I couldn't give the focus that hockey needs out of me. And if I would have came back, you wouldn't seen a person or a player that you would have remembered the season before. So it was a lot of stuff going on in my personal life that I had to face in my family, but also understanding that you need to understand what you have to do to be a professional athlete and what it takes out of you mentally to prepare. I wasn't there because of my personal life. So coming back, I understand what it takes out of me to be a good pro and to play in a high level, so I'm trying to approach it as I told you 2 years ago and how I approached that year, because
yeah,
it helped and I know it works on me.
Oliver, the Masterton Trophy by definition is a nod to the NHLer who, you know, shows the qualities of dedication to hockey and perseverance and sportsmanship. I'm just curious, like you said, it's a huge honor. Can you sum up what it means to be looked at as an example of those characteristics?
I mean, I say it is an honor because I've, in my personal life, I've had people that I've looked up to, that I've classified those stuff you mentioned. So being mentioned in that same category, it obviously touches you differently because I don't see that as myself, you know? Like, I don't. All those stuff, I don't think that I'm all those things, you know, but maybe I am, or maybe I'm just trying to be me. I'm just trying to do what I can do for myself, and hopefully that can help others. And I mean, getting recognized with those stuff you mentioned, it's hard to take in because you don't look at yourself in that way and maybe like trying to replicate exactly what those honorable things are. So I'm just trying to be a good person and trying to be a good teammate and trying to pass on what I've learned.
That part, and you and I have had this conversation before, but that part you mentioned about, you know, helping others, how do you just sort of look at the fact that, you know, people are saying, hey, you know, what Oliver has been through can maybe help me. I know that's not the focus for you, but when you do hear that, when you do think about the potential impact you're having, how do you sort of react to that?
Obviously, positively. If I can make an impact in a big or a small way for a person that's going through something, that's something beautiful and amazing. So, like I said in different interviews, like every story in their journey is very individual. But during a individual's journey, you can also take some experiences from that person into your own. But your journey or your adversity that you have to face is your own. You can't just like try to compare that to someone else. Like, you have to go through it yourself. There's no shortcuts. Like, you have to face it yourself. And I think saying that to yourself can be hard if you're in a very vulnerable state, but over time you will understand that's the path. Because if you're not taking that path, you're going to try to trick yourself all the time into stuff. So I don't think that will help you. I'm just talking in a bigger spectrum right now.
Great. It's really great. I want to circle back on something you said earlier about, you know, when you find out about the Masterton, one of your sort of next moves is to say thanks to teammates and say thanks to those around you. How do you go about sort of showing the support or the thanks for the support you have received?
Oh, you want me to go through my speech, eh?
I haven't won anything yet, eh?
No, but I mean, there's so many people that I can thank and mention, and I will, but if I win, but it's so hard to mention like everyone here, but there's a lot of guys in our team for sure, and there's a lot of close people in my life that's always been there that has been big rocks for me, so and very influential. So there's a few for sure.
Oliver Shillington is with us, the Flames team nominee for the 2024 Bill Masterton Memorial Award. You know, listening to you on Monday when you were informed that you were going to be the team nominee and listening to you talk, I was really struck by the thing that you said, basically, where you're like, hey, look, it's okay to admit there's something that's not okay and okay to kind of come to terms with that yourself. I remember when somebody told me that same thing some time ago, and it just like it really hits that, like, sometimes you have to kind of, as you said, lean into, hey, like, stuff in life is not where you want it to be right now,
right,
and be okay with that. How important was that realization along the path?
It was a tough acceptance to accept and where you were at the time, but I find when you find acceptance, that's when you're not, like, I'm not saying you're it's not like your problem is going to go away from
you. It's not like instantly cured,
no,
right?
No, but it's like more you're okay with what's happened. You're okay with what will happen. So I think just finding your integrity and understanding that it's okay and you're not driven of shame or whatever that can affect and vulnerable you in that. So, but yeah, I... hard question to answer.
Yeah. And I know this is not always the easiest stuff to talk about, but as you're going through it and to know that you always had that kind of support from the Flames, and you've talked about the support from the hockey world, how comforting was that at times to know that it was there throughout the entire journey and entire process?
At first, you know, it was not comfort because you didn't know yourself, really. Like, I was in a state where I didn't recognize myself. But at the same time, it was so many personal stuff around me and my family that happened. So I had such a hard time, like, accepting and understanding everything. I was, like, in denial.
Yeah.
So when I faced the Flames and spoke to Connie and Tree, that still were our GM at that time, they approached me in a way where I felt like this is family right away, like in ways where you, like, they understand, you know, and that helped so much. I think with their support from the get-go, this would never, ever happen. So, yeah, I have to acknowledge and see that, and I'm very appreciative of that for sure.
You have your back to the door, but Michael Backlund just poked his head in and gave us a little smile and a nod. How big has he been throughout all of this?
Yeah, I mean, he's for sure one of those top names I would have mentioned in a speech for sure.
Yeah. Okay. I figured he might have been. One of the things that you said when you first spoke to us again after doing your first practice with the whole group was there is a time when you didn't know whether you'd be back here. And I know that you're not reflecting yet, but the fact that there was a time where you weren't sure if the return to the NHL was going to happen, and now you're back, you're playing every day, and you are back to the everyday life again. Mm. How grateful are you that the NHL, you are an NHLer again?
I'm very grateful. I mean, I'm not kidding you when I said that I was thinking that I was about to play again. So, I mean, very grateful. And I mean, when I'm saying I'm grateful, I mean really, like, I'm grateful for, like, just small things, like meeting the flight attendants again, like,
yeah.
Just like,
yeah.
You know, just small things that you don't maybe, like, think of that you don't sometimes appreciate, but you all, of course, you should appreciate. But I'm just saying, like, I feel thankful and appreciated of a lot of things, and the energy and the atmosphere coming back to an environment that I've been away from, it's very transcended a lot. I don't know how to thank the organization and the city and the fans more than I have. I just want to go out there and show that I still can play and do my thing.
Congratulations on the nomination. Congratulations on being back and being back with the Flames. It's awesome to see and well deserved. Congrats
again.
Thank you.
I appreciate you. Thank you.
It's Oliver Shillington as he joined us a little earlier on this Friday after it was announced that he will be Calgary's team nominee for the Bill Masterton Memorial Trophy this season. And honestly, you listen to that, and you and I were both listening back, and usually we don't, if something's on tape and you've already done it, usually don't listen. But I just wanted to listen to Oliver again because honestly, the way he delivers things and the words and how thoughtfully he chooses them, and you obviously can't see, but you know, he was again, like, it was clearly an emotional talk for him being, and he was what, 2 feet from me, 4 feet from you, and
yeah,
you could tell. And so I just wanted to listen back as we were playing it right there, and yeah, I think the whole combination of the way he delivers things and what he's saying and what he's been through and the fact that he's back and the sincerity in terms of how grateful he is to have come out the other side of the journey, it's pretty powerful. Definitely hits home.
You know what? Powerful is the word that was at the tip of my tongue too. I just thought that whole interview, and if you only caught part of it, please go have a listen. I just thought from start to finish, really honest, really raw, really compelling stuff from all over there.
Just read you a few texts at 960-960. This from Mike. Shillington should absolutely be a finalist. Not sure about the rest of the league, but seems like his story would be very fitting of the Bill Masterton Memorial Trophy. This from Jeff, who says, I just finished listening to the Oliver Shillington interview posted on the Flames Talk podcast feed. Wow, what an incredible discussion. I've struggled much in my life with mental illness, and some of the things he said really got to me. Thanks, Oliver, for sharing your journey, and to the Fan 960 team for the interview. Much happiness and health to you all, and oh yeah, go Flames, go. And this from our favorite Canucks fan, Sarah in Calgary, says, Oliver's comeback was the feel-good story this year. Got to give the Flames huge props for their support, and him huge props for handling the whole thing with such poise. That's just a few of the responses on the text line at 960-960. Congrats to Oliver. A very, very, very deserving nod as the team nominee for the Masterton, and would be a very, very, very deserving winner if he ends up winning it in June, which I think you and I are both on board in saying he absolutely should.
Yeah, he the way it works for us in the PHWA is we get a packet essentially with a bio from each team or each chapter sort of detailing why someone was nominated. I haven't had a chance to look through all those to, you know, slam my hand on the fist and say Oliver's got to win it, but he has a very strong case.
Yep.
Absolutely.
That is our look inside hockey for Calgary Co-op. Let's go local Calgary. From best from the West Canadian produce to quality only Alberta meats, find your local at Calgary Co-op. Shop online or in-store today.
Flames Talk is live on Calgary's hockey station, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, time now for our Daily Flames Roundtable on this Friday edition of Flames Talk. It's brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. Race into spring with a freshly cleaned car. Book one of the 32 service bays at MercedesBenzCountryHills.ca, and they'll revitalize your exterior paint finish. It's Steinberg, Wes Gilbertson, voice of the Calgary Flames, Derek Wills, joins us now as well. And, you know, we'll start with this topic. Flames coming off a 5-2 loss to the Winnipeg Jets on Thursday night, and a lot of talk throughout that game when it became apparent that Connor Zary was not going to play. And as we determined that, it was like, okay, well, is he injured or is this a healthy scratch? And then we found out that this was a coach's decision. This is a healthy scratch. It is not for injury-related reasons. And then that started to kick up a little bit of a debate online. And certainly, I didn't like it initially. I thought to myself, man, you're playing out the string. You're a game away from mathematical playoff elimination. Why are you scratching somebody? I know he's not been as impactful the last five games upon returning, but why are you scratching somebody at this stage when it's all about playing your young players? But then we had a little bit of a talk about it on our Flames Talk post-game show, and I thought Willsy brought up a couple of really good points. And then listening to Ryan Huska on Friday morning, and I think that kind of that really adds some important context. This was Ryan Huska Friday morning, the head coach of the Flames, on scratching Connor Zary and what he wants to see from him the rest of the way.
I want them to look like his first game. So when he comes and plays the game, I want him to have an energy and enthusiasm about him, and a level of compete that is starting to set himself apart from other players. So since he's come back from his injury, I think he's been a step behind. Yesterday was a chance for him to reset and have a good understanding of where he has to go for his last number of games here.
Probably predictable that for a young player in his rookie season, there would be sort of maybe a dip like that at some point?
Sure, but you don't want to see it.
Of course.
So I don't. Connor's different than some others because he's been with us all year. So we have an expectation of where his game can be at. We have a good understanding of what he's capable of bringing to the table for our team. So that's what we expect out of him all the time. And when it slips, we want to make sure he realizes it and gets himself back on track right away.
Is that message kind of like, hey, it is a mental reset, not necessarily a punishment or whatever, how it could be taken?
I don't ever think they're punishments. I mean, players may look at it that way, but for us, it's we have identities, or we have ways that we expect our players to play, and Connor's a guy that I feel like makes people around him better when he's competitive and when he's controlling the puck. And the prior six games, that hasn't been there. So it's just a chance for him to take a deep breath and recognize what he has to do every day. And you look for the remaining games that we have and down the road, he has to have a real good grasp on that, because he's going to be an important part of our team remaining of this year and moving forward. So letting him off the hook isn't the right way to do it.
Maybe this is sort of going to what you just said, but there's going to be people who say, oh, a team that's focused on the future shouldn't be scratching kids at this time of year. Is there, from your standpoint, what's the value of not going with that mentality and sort of going the other way?
So for me, that's a good question. I mean, yeah, we're not in the playoffs right now, but I don't believe in giving free games to people just because they're young. What type of message and lesson are they learning along the way? I think if you want to see the way a game should be played, you look at someone like Mackenzie Weegar. Right now, he's playing every game like it's his last game. And that's the expectation we have for all of our players. And just because they're young or someone that's up and coming should not be a reason why they're getting games. They should deserve the games.
So that's head coach Ryan Huska on healthy scratching Connor Zary Thursday. He'll be back in the lineup Saturday in the Battle of Alberta against the Edmonton Oilers. You can take that to the bank. So question number one on the Daily Flames Roundtable, Wilsey, Wes, and Pat. After hearing that and just overall, what do we think of the decision to scratch Zary on Thursday night?
Well, first of all, that is a great clip. And it's one of the reasons why I'm a huge Ryan Huska fan. He's not just a coach, he's a teacher. And he is investing in a young player who he knows is going to be a really important piece for this team moving forward. And it's kind of what I said on our Flames Talk post-game show on Thursday. Yeah, I want to see Connor Zary play. I like watching the guy play, but he hasn't been the same player since he came back from that injury. And while I think playing in as many games as possible is important for every young player, Zary included, I also think that the short-term investment of sending, I think, a pretty clear message to him and to others, I would say, by healthy scratching him for a game, I think that investment is worth it. It's one game. We're not going to remember that he was a healthy scratch a month or a year from now, especially if he gets back to being a player that we all know that he can be. And yeah, one game of development, it's important, but for me, not as important as the message that Ryan Huska is sending Zary and others. He's been one of this team's best offensive players this season as a rookie. So if Connor Zary can get scratched, just about anybody can get scratched, especially the young guys. So I thought it was a great clip. I love that he used Mackenzie Weegar, a veteran player, as an example, because I do think that you could argue that a guy who is under contract for another seven seasons beyond this one could maybe take his foot off the gas with the team now being mathematically eliminated from the Stanley Cup playoffs and having been realistically eliminated from postseason play for quite some time. But he hasn't done that. So I think that's great leadership from Mackenzie Weegar. And he's not the only veteran player who has given the team everything he's got down the stretch here, even though I'm sure that's been tough for them because their goal was to get to the playoffs. So I didn't dislike the move as much as most last night. And after hearing that from Ryan Huska today, I think it was the right call. And I can't wait to see how Connor Zary responds, because I suspect he's going to respond the right way on Saturday night.
I was in the camp last night of really didn't like the move, really maybe didn't. Not that I didn't understand, because certainly Connor Zary had struggled in those six appearances after coming back from injury, but I was still in the camp of, I'm not sure this is the right call. And I do appreciate the explanation we heard from head coach Ryan Huska today. I do think, and I want to stress this part, I think player development is one of Ryan Huska's biggest strong suits as a coach. And that goes back to the impact that I know he had for Rasmus Anderson and Andrew Mangiapane, for Oliver Shillington, for Garnet Hathaway, for guys that he had in Stockton when he was the head coach of the affiliate. And that's continued, I think, with what we've seen for the most part from Connor Zary, certainly what we've seen from Martin Pospisil. Like, I do think we're talking about a head coach who gets how to develop young players. And, you know, the only, if I were to sort of offer up a debate here, guys, the only thing that I wonder, and I was thinking about this, especially last night as I watched the game, I think my first step would have been to put Connor Zary last night on a line with Michael Backlund and Blake Coleman. That would have allowed you to leave Matt Coronato with Huberdeau and Sharangovich, so you'd still have him in a top nine role. But I think my first step would have been, hey, we're going to put you with two of our tone-setting, culture-setting veterans and hope that you get that bump out of your slump that way. I think that's what, if I was in Ryan Huska's shoes, I would have done first. But I can't necessarily argue with the explanation today either, if that makes sense.
It's kind, so my initial thought, so my and when I found out that no, this is not injury related, this is coaching decision, my initial thought was, man, he's only been back for five games. He missed eight. He's only been back for five. Like, that's a – and even listening to Wilsey, when you spoke with Cale McClain ahead of the game Thursday night and gave the explanation about how hard it is getting back up to speed at this time of year, it's only been five games. I know he struggled, but still just five games. And so that was my initial thought, just knowing that we're now in a situation where we're watching the Flames play out the string. And this is the time to play and elevate young players. But at the same time, yeah, listening to and Wills, you were the first one who brought it up last night. But you know, talking through it with you and Mick, and then listening to the head coach here on Friday, I was like, okay, yeah, you know, and Mick's pretty clear that it's only going to be a one game thing. We're going to sit you down, reset, and then we really want you to excel. We really want you to succeed, and we really want you to finish the season strongly. So, again, like the way Wes said, even though initially I was like, I don't like it, you hear what you just heard from the head coach, and you think about it a little bit more, and you know that it's only going to be a one-game thing, and I'll be back here for the final seven, including the Battle of Alberta on Saturday night. I think it's a little harder to be too up in arms about it.
Yeah, and while every game is important, healthy scratching Connor Zary for one game is not going to stunt his development. I mean, I think it's an important investment and a young player who's going to be a huge part of this team moving forward. And I suspect it's probably going to have the opposite effect of that. I think it's going to light a fire under Connor Zary. And I think he's going to be a lot of fun to watch in the final seven games of the season. But, you know, Ryan Huska, he's done it at the WHL level. He's done it at the AHL level. And now he's doing it at the NHL level. And I appreciate the fact that he's holding his players, young players and old players, accountable. I think it's an important part of building the culture with the Flames. He's done it with veteran players. He did it earlier this week when he was asked about, you know, how important it is for young players to play the right way down the stretch. And he immediately pivoted and started talking about how important it is for veteran players to do that and to set a good example for the younger players. So I think it was the right move. I'm even more in that camp today than I was yesterday. And I was pretty firmly in that camp after last night's game when we talked about it. But we'll have to wait and see how Connor Zary responds. Again, when he was asked about his play earlier this week, I think he said all the right things, basically said that, hey, you know, I don't think I'm guaranteed a spot on this team next season. And I think that's the right mindset for a young player to have. It goes back to Bob Hartley's time here. And one of my few takeaways from that period of time, the always earned, never given. And I kind of think that's what Ryan Huska's message was. Again, not just to Connor Zary today, but I think to everybody, especially the young guys.
I'll just add one thing really quick, guys. You know, what gives me the reason I'm not worried at all about Connor Zary's reaction to this is because one of his biggest strengths is his confidence. This is a guy who has a ton of belief in his skill set, a ton of belief that this is just a bump in the road. He told my colleague Danny Austin today, and you can find Danny's story on the Post Media sites, like, this is, you know, this is just a challenge. I've had a lot of success so far in my first season, and, you know, this is sort of a blip. And I'm paraphrasing, obviously. You can go see Connor's exact words, but this is a kid who oozes confidence, and for that reason, I have no doubt he's going to take this the right way.
One quick more point, guys.
Yeah.
In my 10 seasons covering Flames games, and correct me if I'm wrong, because it happens from time to time, I think every really good young player the team has had has been a healthy scratch at some point in time. Sean Monahan, Johnny Gaudreau, Matthew Tkachuk, and now Connor Zeri. Sam Bennett, too. But would you guys agree? I mean,
the only one I don't know about
the right way.
Monahan got punished. Did he ever get healthy scratched?
Well, he was healthy scratched after that Super Bowl thing.
That's what I mean. That was a punishment one. The rest of them, absolutely. And I don't think he was healthy scratched in his rookie season, but I might be wrong. But Gaudreau definitely was. Bennett definitely was. Tkachuk was very. I think he. They took him out
in St. Louis. Remember,
St. Louis, his hometown. Yeah. So yeah, definitely. It has happened. So yeah, I'm curious to see how he reacts to it going into Saturday's game against the Oilers. It's a Daily Flames Roundtable. Wilsey with Wes Gilbertson and Pat Steinberg on this Friday edition of Flames Talk. Also Thursday, another ejection for Martin Pospisil. 5-minute major for elbowing and a game misconduct. But it sounds like no supplemental discipline coming. At least according to our buddy Ryan Pike, no hearing scheduled as of now as we're talking for Martin Pospisil and the Department of Player Safety, which likely means there's no suspension coming, which likely means the 5-in-a-game covers it in the eyes of the Department of Player Safety. Just overall, how do we feel about the hit? How do we feel about Pospisil as he continues to try to walk the line in the NHL?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'm really happy that Josh Morrissey, who's just a fantastic player, is okay. And I suspect that probably has something to do with the fact that Martin Pospisil hasn't heard from the Department of Player Safety. I'm not going to lie. I'd be thrilled if he didn't get suspended because I love watching the guy play. He's a throwback, and I don't think there's a lot of guys like him on this team or in this league. But I am surprised, simply because he is clearly on the radar of the DOPS. He was just suspended about a month ago for 3 games. So I feel like they're keeping a very close eye on a guy who does try to walk that tightrope. And in his defense, the game is so fast. I don't think he was out there trying to hurt Josh Morrissey or anybody else. It happened really quickly. I know he left his feet, but I wonder if that was in a way self-defense, him preparing himself for the upcoming collision. And he did get his elbows up, but you could also argue from Pospisil's perspective that could have been a self-defense move as well. Now, I'm not saying that I thought it was a good hit. I didn't think it was a very good hit. But he got penalized last night. 5-in-a-game is quite a bit of punishment. So maybe the league looks at that and says, okay, Morrissey's okay. And we think that's enough for Pospisil. But as Ryan Huska has said, and many of us have said, he's such a unique player in the way he plays the game, with the pace that he plays at, with the physicality that he plays with. And for him to be at his best and for him to be the effective player that he's been for most of his rookie season in this league, as number one on the team in hits, number two in the league as far as hits for rookies, he has to find that fine line. And occasionally, when you play that way, you're going to cross that line and you're going to get penalized. And once in a while, you're probably going to get suspended. So he's a young player. I think he's going to learn from his mistakes. I think losing him in Thursday night's game against the Jets was a really big blow for the Flames, because when they fell behind in that hockey game, and the reason why they fell behind was because they got into some penalty trouble. Well, now you're losing one of the wingers on the line that had been the biggest threat for 2 games, the line with Nazem Kadri, Andre Kuzmenko, and Martin Pospisil. So not only did he hurt himself with that hit, and not only did he thankfully avoid hurting Josh Morrissey with that hit, but he hurt his team. So he's going to have to learn some tough lessons along the way. I think that he will. But again, when you play the way he plays, once in a while, you're going to step across the line and you're going to get punished for it, as he did last night.
While I thought that there would likely be a suspension, maybe a 1-game suspension coming today, I do think Martin Pospisil is lucky to dodge that. I also, you know, would only say, and I think we all agree with this, it was not nearly as bad as the hit on Seattle's Vince Dunn, which was kind of a no-brainer suspension. It's just, you know, this is 2 incidents with Martin Pospisil in pretty short succession. And yet you hope from a Flames standpoint that even spotlight that comes with the hit on Morrissey, the comments that were coming out of the Jets room, the fact that the major penalty put his team in a tough spot. You hope all of that helps to teach Martin Pospisil, not that he doesn't know he can't cross the line, but I guess you hope it helps him find that line a little better. You hope it helps increase his understanding of what's acceptable and not acceptable. He's getting there. It's going to take time. He's going to cross the line sometimes, but I do think he's lucky that he won't be sitting out tomorrow night.
Two things quickly. I thought he was going to get suspended just because of the fact that he was suspended a month ago and just got another major. So that's the main reason why I'm surprised, honestly. However, the fact that Morrissey is okay and the fact that the game went on, had he not been suspended a month prior for three games, I probably would have said because I thought it was a fair call, major game misconduct. I probably would have said if it was any other player, yeah, major game misconduct, and just go about your business. That'll probably cover it and move on. It was the history and the fact that he is already clearly on their radar that I thought was going to get him suspended. I didn't love the hit. I thought it was the right call. They reviewed it and made the right call. But I also don't think he was intending to deliver an elbow directly to a dude's head. Still doesn't mean that it wasn't a reckless hit. Am I surprised he's not getting suspended? Yes, based on the fact that there's some recent history. Am I up in arms that he's not getting suspended? No, not really. But I am curious to see how his line walking continues going forward, because he is a damn good player. I love watching him play. They don't have, and again, I use this term in a very, very respectful and endearing way, they do not have a rat on their team if they don't have Martin Pospisil. He is awesome the way that he goes about his business, and I think he makes an impact. And so I'm not up in arms about it. He's going to need to keep playing on that edge. And at the same time, he's going to have to find a way to not hurt his team, because, Willsey, not only do the five-minute penalties hurt your team, but as you mentioned, not having him on the ice and available to go on the ice also hurts the team.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm with you, Pat. I just love watching him play. And I don't think that Martin Pospisil is going to get any Calder Trophy votes, but I would argue that he's been one of the most impactful rookies in the NHL this season. He doesn't have the stats to get him the votes for the Calder Trophy. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but the way he plays the game, again, he's just such a throwback. There aren't a lot of veterans in the NHL that play the way that Martin Pospisil does. To see a rookie playing the way he does and impacting the games and helping his line mates be their best, I think the guy deserves a lot of credit for the way he plays. It's not an easy way to play. And much like Connor Zeri, who we just talked about, I think this guy is going to be a huge part of what the Flames are and want to be moving forward.
Have a good rest of your Friday, Willsey. We will talk to you tomorrow talk to you Saturday for the Flames and Oilers in round four of the Battle of Alberta. For now, have a great Friday. Thank you, pal.
Can't wait. See you tomorrow, guys.
That is your Daily Flames Roundtable. He's Derek. He's Wes. I'm Pat. Daily Flames Roundtable for Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. Race into spring with a freshly cleaned car. Book one of the 32 service bays at MercedesBenzCountryHills.ca, and they'll revitalize your exterior paint finish. As we start to wrap things up this hour on Flames Talk, Wes Gilbertson is on Twitter, at Wes Gilbertson. Have a wonderful weekend yourself. Enjoy the Battle of Alberta, hey?
Yeah, you too, pal.
That will wrap us up on the Sports Drive. Thanks to Cam and Azam, our producers this hour. The Sports Drive brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Simplify your life with a security ecosystem. Go to CalgaryLockAndSafe.com to request a security audit and get a tailored solution.